Thanks for joining us today at City Life. We believe today's message will empower you and point you towards Jesus. But remember that church is so much more than a message you listen to. It's a living, breathing community that we invite you to be a part of. We hope to see you on a Sunday morning at City Life, in person or online.
Good morning. I'm just gonna not fall off. That's the goal. My name is Jennifer Blackwood. I'm part of the team here at City Life. And if you can guess what I'm preaching on, you get nothing but a pat on the back. Exercise. Yes? This makes sense. We're going to see how this goes. I'm going to see if I tend to be a mover. The camera person, is that Kai back there? He's like, oh, this is great. She's going to stay in the same place all morning. This is great because I tend to be a pacer. Yeah, so this is going to keep me here, and we're going to learn about moving our bodies. Because like JD already, you know, half preached my message, we could all go home. Because it's just like you putting your body into action to align with your soul. Because we are embodied beings. And that's this series we're on, Recalibrate, talking about the body and the soul and how it goes together. And that's this book. I think we've sold out twice. There's still more copies. We have this, the body teaches the soul. And we're kind of looking at this idea of how our body and what we do, our actions, how that creates this alignment for our soul to then follow Christ in the way that we want to live in every area of life. And I don't know about you, but for me, there's this category of spiritual and non-spiritual. You know, it's like spiritual, it's like I pray, I gather, I worship, I read the word of God, whether individually or corporately. These are very important things, but that would be kind of the spiritual category. And then non-spiritual is just like the everyday stuff, you know, the stuff I got to do just to keep life going, going to work, going to school, going to the grocery store, doing my laundry, doing the chores, all the things that need to get done just to keep life happening. And so we say, well, those are the non-spiritual things. But I hope if you've been around our church for this last year that you've heard a spheres message or two, like Monica preached last week, talking about this idea that we are embodied beings. We are meant to do every area of life as a representative of Christ. Whatever you do, all for the glory of God. And how good is it that it matters what I do? That God cares about every aspect of my life. We are embodied. Do I have any biology lovers in the room? Yes, I loved bio. Well, it's good the chiropractor put up his hand, probably. Yeah. And I know Haley just finished Bio 30. And I have an image for you that they're going to throw up on the screen. And it is an image. Is it up there? Oh, see, I can't turn around. So you guys have just got to help me out. Because I thought it'd be back there, but it's not. Okay. But this is a part of your body. And if you notice this part of your body, it's created in such a way that God perfectly designed it to be created. And if you're, I know we have some massage therapists in the room, like I said, chiropractors or people who love biology, you probably know that this is a ball and socket joint. What a masterful creation this is, and that God made it. Because who made our bodies? Yeah, God made our bodies, and he actually designed them with this specific function. You are not just some random, you know, a whole bunch of atoms just smashed into each other, and boom, the most intelligent, amazing machine on the planet was born. That's not what happened. All 35 trillion cells of you was created and designed by God, the masterful designer, and I love it. And what's cool is he created us all with unique personalities and temperaments and put us in different families. And so we're all so different and unique. And yet, if I were to like unzip my skin, I'm sure there's a horror movie where that happens. I don't know. I don't watch them. You shouldn't either. But anyway, and you peeled off my skin layer and it was just, you know, bones and veins. You can picture it. You can picture it. Everything inside was outside. Then if you look to your left and to your right, you'd be like, Wow, we look pretty similar. The mandible or whatever, you know, like the bones would be just flapping around, you know, doing the work. And it would be, we would be so similar. And that's the way God created us. And we were all designed and created with similar functions. And that's why the beauty of talking about exercise really applies to everyone. I need water. You know, when you're communicating, it's energy. And then when you're, walking. Anyway, it's great. It's good I get my steps in today, guys. I just feel so, I'm like doubling up right now. It feels so wonderful. But it's how God created us. Like, even just look at your fingers, like all your joints, your metatarsals and your tarsals and your knee joint, you know, give a little kick. Oh, yeah, just don't kick the chair in front of you or else your shin will tell you, oh, yes, that is there. There's nerves in there. But your body was designed and created to move. That's how God designed us. We were created to move. We were made to move. And we're going to say that a lot. We were made to move. At the most basic level, you are made to move, designed and functioned by God. And you have like so many, 600 muscles in your body that's meant to initiate and sustain movement. That's how you are created. Created to move, designed by God to move. A couple weeks ago, Pastor Mike, he talked about how our bodies are designed by God. In 1 Corinthians 6, 19 to 20, it says, "Do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit within you, whom you have from God? You are not your own. You are bought with a price. So honor God. So glorify God in your body." That's talking about your body. Romans 12:1 says, "Therefore, present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship." So those categories of non-spiritual and spiritual, body just got thrown into the spiritual. Because what you do with your body actually matters. It matters to God. God cares about what we do with our physical bodies. It's important what we put in our bodies, like Pastor Mike talked about, but it's also important what we do with that output, with our energy, with our actions. It matters to God. So, is exercise an act of worship? Can I glorify God when I exercise? Well, short answer, yes. So, if I made this incredible invention, it's a mechanical pencil, guys. Yeah, I'd be pretty rich, maybe. I mean, it was patented in 1822, so I'd be dead. But if I made this and no one had heard of it before, and I gave it, you know, Melissa, here's this pencil, and she was like, okay, what do I do with it? Well, you write with it. It's always sharp. It's ever sharp. That's kind of was the selling point. And she took it home and she hung it over her, you know, dining room table to give light for when she's working at the table. She would be frustrated and I would be annoyed. It's like, no, this is not what it's made for. It's not what it's meant to do. And so the design, if I'm the designer and created something to function in a certain way and you don't use it in line with that function, it's not going to work and you're both going to be frustrated on both ends. It's like, I told you how this was supposed to work and you're not using it the way that it was meant to be used, the way that it was designed. And if we think about this mechanical pencil a little bit further and we think about this beautiful body of the mechanical pencil. On the outside, it's wonderful, but you don't just admire it. You actually use it. And inside is the lead. The lead is what actually writes. And if we think about the soul as the lead, it's like you need the infilling of the Spirit. You need your soul to be well. You need to engage with your Creator. You need to connect with Him and get to know Him because that's how you actually are able to carry out the function that He's created you for. And that is the two parts, again, embodied. And it's one of the greatest, I think, challenges in North America is that we actually glorify the body or we idolize it, we obsess over it. and we don't honor God through the body because we fail to see the function of it. We fail to see what it was created for. It's not just created to be admired, but to be used for his good and for his glory. I love in this book, in Justin Whitmell early, The Body Teaches the Soul, it says this: body image treats exercise as a mirror where the focus is solely on the shape of our bodies. You're just obsessing over the shape. But as image of God treats exercise as a window and asks how we can exercise as a means to help us live a life of love for God and for others. So instead of a mirror that says, oh, what does it look like? How's it doing? What, like, oh, I do my exercise. Is it making a difference in the way that I look? Instead of obsessing over that, but seeing it's like, how could I use what, how I'm functioning and using this body to actually be a window to share God's light with others? And we're going to look at that a little deeper. We have to ask, how is this body I have been, that's been designed and created, how is it supposed to function? Am I praising and thanking God for the functions of my body? Or am I abusing my body in a way that I treat it or hate it or want it to be different? I had the privilege when I was 18, which my daughter Haley turns 18 today. I have two adults in the house. I know you're like, oh, you look too young. Thank you. Thank you. But I'm not looking at body image. We're looking at the soul, what matters, what really matters. Anyway, but it's a great day in our house. Anyway, but when I was 18, I remember working with a group of grade 6 girls. And we, each one of them, they partnered up and they had to trace each other's body on these big sheets of paper. And then they had to label different parts of their body. And then they had to label the function of the parts of the body. And then we took them through a process of thanking God for each of those parts of their body based on their function. And it changes the way that you look at your body when you're able to thank God for how it's helping you to do what you need to do every day. Even if there's limits, God can be the one who's actually glorified when we choose to say thank you for how you made me and the ways that I can function. We can exercise not as like this necessary evil to like fit into a certain pair of size of pants, you know, like, but to see that we are created to move. We were made to move. Can you say it with me? We were made to move. Yeah, your body is incredible. In Genesis 1:27, it says, so God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. He created us, specifically designed for a purpose. We're going to look at 1 Timothy chapter 4 to look at a bit of this idea of why we exercise. And then I'm going to read to you a list out of this book, which was so good, so practical in regards to why we exercise. And that idea of instead of a mirror, but this is a window of how we can bless others with our exercise, with moving our body and honoring God in that way. And so we're going to get there, but we're going to start in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 7. The last half of verse 7 says, train yourself to be godly. In the New King James Version, it says, exercise yourself toward godliness. Can I exercise myself toward godliness? Can I like work towards it by honoring God? Well, first, let's look at what godliness is, because it's always good to define where we're going and what we're pursuing, what we're going for. So biblical godliness, I don't need my pencil anymore, means a life devoted to God, characterized by reverence and obedience, stemming from an inward devotion, like love, fear, and desire for God, that produces outward righteous living and actions that are pleasing to him. Essentially, being like God in character and conduct, so the way that we live, as seen in Jesus, it's not just belief, but a practical expression of faith. Like JD said, faith without action, like faith, you show me by what you do. contrasting with worldly pursuits, and involves training oneself to reflect God's holiness in every area of life. So how might exercising make me more obedient to Christ? How could exercise lead to an inner devotion and outward righteousness, righteous living and acting? Could exercise be a practical expression of faith? It seems so disconnected, doesn't it? And yet, when Paul in this phrase where he says exercise yourself towards godliness, this word, the Greek word that translates into our English word is actually gymnazo, this train or discipline or exercise. And Paul uses it because it is connected to athletes. And he often used this connection or parallel to an athlete. And that word gymnazo is our word gymnasium. And so it talks about a place where we get real and get intentional about the function of our body and bringing it in line with what God has called us to. And if you are an athlete in the room, you would know what it means to train, what it means to be uncomfortable, play through pain, to get up when you don't want to go to bed too late because the match went too long or the race was too hard and your body is just the recovery that it takes. And just this, it can be a drive as an athlete to try and perform. Like you think about Olympians, I'm always like in awe. They spend years of their life, like most of their younger lives, and then obviously those last few years before an Olympic Games, and it's like a gymnast on a beam, 90 seconds. And that's a human, not a robot. So what if they turn left instead of right? Or what if they slip? Like it's just, or get sick. It's just crazy. And then it's like, okay, well, I guess another 4 years to hopefully qualify for the next Olympics. It is so wild what people do for a gold medal. And yet it shows us this example of discipline that's required to spiritually as well to work beyond comfort and to tell our soul to get in line. In 1 Corinthians 9, 24 to 27, Paul writes this. He says, "Do you not know that in a race all runners run, but only one receives the prize? Run in such a way as to take the prize. Everyone who competes in the games trains with strict discipline." Try it like this. Yeah. "They do it for a crown that is perishable, but we do it for a crown that is imperishable." So ours does not die with the world. Ours is imperishable. What we are running for, that soul side, that's an eternal investment that we're running towards. "Everyone who competes in the games, yes. Therefore, I do not run aimlessly. I do not fight like I am beating the air. No, I discipline my body and I make it my slave," which sounds terrible, "but I bring it into submission of my soul and say, body, this is what I need from you because this is what God is calling us to. So that after I've preached to others, I myself will not be disqualified." And what's beautiful about the crowns, the rewards of heaven, yes, they are different for all of us, but the promise of eternity, that's an open door. When we say yes to following Jesus, when we surrender our lives to him, when we walk in fullness of life because of Christ and commit our lives to him, there's no limits to those gold medals, if you will. You get that gift. It's a gift that's extended to you. What an opportunity. What a reason to stay disciplined in this journey of life following Christ, to know that we have a guarantee. You're going to the Olympics, but you win. Wow, that's awesome. 1 Timothy 4, verse 8, carrying on in that passage of chapter of Timothy. "For physical training is of some value, but godliness has value for all things, holding promise for both the present life and the life to come." So Paul is saying here that physical training has value. It's not just like thrown away. It's actually of some importance. But yes, godliness has value for this life and the life to come. So you can't neglect your soul, but you can't neglect your body. But it kind of, as JD said, you know, it's like when we do something in the natural, it's amazing how our soul has to get in line. Like sometimes when we look at, when we train ourselves physically, it actually can be exactly what we need to spiritually learn how to train. It teaches us to discipline ourselves. In this book, there's a quote. It says, when our heads go one way and our habits go another, the heart follows the habits. So there's something very God-designed that created us to build these habits that form life, that bring our embodied self into alignment. So you can't just do half or parts. It's got to be in line, body and soul. He also says elsewhere in the book, the overwhelming problem of our moment is that we have practiced our way into mental, physical, and spiritual unhealth. You practice your way here, you need to practice your way out. So there's actually a, you got to take a step at a time. You got to actually make these decisions. There is a war within you between the flesh and the spirit. Jesus said to his disciples, you know, the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. So there's something about disciplining that flesh and training it can build a habit, and habits can bring us in alignment as an embodied being in a following of Jesus. Spiritual practices are awesome, and we need to obviously engage in them. But if I'm praying to the God who designed my body to move, and I'm asking him to heal me, even though he created a lymph system that's meant to, through muscles, actually pump immune cells around my body, and I'm praying, God, heal me, and yet I don't honor his design, I might be missing something. What could God have created in my physical body that's meant to engage and be part of his great purpose? Dr. Mark Topolsky wrote this in Time magazine. If there were a drug that could do for human health everything that exercise can, it would likely be the most valuable pharmaceutical ever developed. It does actually do so much for your body. We won't get into all the things. Don't have time. But we were made to move. Can you say it with me? Because this is lulling you, isn't it? Is it lulling you to sleep? Okay? Okay. I can't turn it up, actually. I was going to say I could turn it up, but no, I've got to slowly but surely. Okay. We were made to move. We were made to move. Yeah, thank you. 1 Timothy, again, chapter 4, finishing verses 9 to 12, it says, this is a trustworthy saying that deserves full acceptance. That is why we labor and strive, because we have put our hope in the living God, who is Savior of all people, especially of those who believe. Command and teach these things. Don't let anyone look down on you because you are young, but set an example for the believers in speech, in conduct, in love, in faith, and in purity. So being part of the mission of Jesus means there's going to be some laboring. There's going to be some striving. It's going to take some work. And could doing hard things in our daily lives actually equip us for that mission of following Christ? Sometimes saying yes to the hard things, which can be exercise for some of us. Being an example in our conduct, in every area of life, like that biblical godliness, in every area of life, I want to represent Christ. Well, this is an area of life. That's why we're talking about it. And maybe you're like, what a ridiculous thing to spend a morning on because it's so, non-spiritual. But we have to know that every aspect of us affects every aspect of us. Like we're embodied, so we can't just separate ourselves, chunk us up into tiny pieces. We are created creatures of habit, and we were designed to move. God created it that way. So we're going to connect the dots a little bit. Now, obviously, I cannot attempt to block, to skip over the idea that exercise is challenging sometimes. And if I told you that something would increase, inflammation or cause inflammation and fatigue and muscle damage and be an overall stressor to your body, you'd be like, no, thank you. I want to honor God with my body. Thank you. It is, after all, a temple of the Holy Spirit, so it's best to stay in bed, sleep in, have skipped the dishes, bring my meals. You know, those children I gave birth to, they can do the necessary errands and bring them to me. I wouldn't want to injure myself or cause strain on my joints. And muscles, yes? Oh, yes. I mean, obviously, that's a crazy exaggeration and not wise to do. And I don't want to shame people into, like, exercising, like, this is, come on, guys. But I just want you to know that there are things that you can do. And for some reason, the creator of the universe, you know, connected strength to, you know, lifting heavy things or pounding on the ground. That's how you actually develop bone density. It's just crazy. I don't know why he designed it that way. It's just the way it is. The athletes that have the highest bone density, gymnasts. Yeah, Cassie. And that's how God created it. I don't know why. But it's so important, even as our bodies continue to age, because we're all aging. I hate that. I mean, I wish you could be like the exception, but you can't. So it's happening, even if you're really young in the room, it's happening. And our bone density is important. I mean, when older adults, if they fall and they fracture their hip, which is common, it's like 20 to 30% of them die within that year. That's wild. Like, there is a lot connected to our need to actually continue to move our bodies, to keep mobility, to be able to, you know, fend off infection and increase risks of all sorts of things, pneumonia, you know. And I'm sure if you're 17 or 18 in this room, or 27 or 37, it's like, I'm doing fine. You know, it's like, my body is fine. But I just want to encourage you, take care of your body. Honor God with your body. My grandma, who's like 93, she always says, take care of your feet. Like, don't wear crappy shoes. Go walk in 10,000 steps. You got to wear good shoes because you only get one pair of those wonderful feet. Daily training, daily moving that beautiful body that God gave you and designed. We are made to move. We were made to move. So two things about exercise. One, no one can move for you. Sucky, I know. But you have to exercise and discipline yourself. If you find like Rent a Dieter or Lease a Runner online, let me know, because I would love to be a runner. Wouldn't that be great to be paid? I'll do that for you. And I do remember when I was like 16, I think. Yeah, that'd be great. But you can't do it. Sorry. Even if you do rent one, you'll just lose money, really, and not feel any better. But I remember a friend got these, it was like some infomercial thing. They were like these little node things, and you put them on your body, and you're supposed to be able to like watch TV and get rock solid abs. You know, waste of money. Don't try it. It's just, you can't, there's no easy way. And that's number two. It's not going to be easy. There's no like skip route. You can't just like make it work or make it happen. And you probably have some excuses to deal with. And that's why I wanted to share just a short example of our beautiful Joanne Delanoy, our incredible lady. If you would have met her 10 years ago, yes, our warrior in the faith and in body, and I think I have an image of us. Is it on there? Okay. So this is, you know, we did the tea house, Lake Louise, good times. You can see Joanne up there. Can you? Yeah. If you know Joanne, you can pick her out. And she was and is a lady with strength and spunk. And she now, after battling two rounds of cancer, is confined to a wheelchair. And she has an excuse not to exercise. But Joanne, she's gathered her swimmy ladies. We go swimming, and she walks, and she flutter kicks, and she jogs, and she does pull-ups. And do you know what else? She has nerve pain. So when she's flutter kicking, it happens every time that she kicks herself, because her legs like to do what they want to do, sometimes their own thing. And that sends shocks through her body. It's like, I would say, no, peace out. You know, like, I don't think I'm going to do it. So Joanne has an excuse not to exercise. And yet, she is also a faith-filled praying woman. And although she is still waiting for a walking miracle from our good, good Father, and we're believing with you, she's not just going to lie down and lose all mobility and strength and just, you know, quality of life, but she's going to keep fighting to engage in moving her body like God has given her even this much ability to do. Thanks, Joanne. And there's other people in this room where moving your body, you've actually moved through some dark seasons. It's helped you to work through some of your stuff by going outside and walking and being able to talk to God and being able to process stuff by moving your body and honoring Him. There is a return for that. You know, if you're going through hell, just keep going. Just keep swimming. That's maybe more current reference. C.S. Lewis says, what saves a man is to take a step and then another step. Now, he was referring to the way that, you know, we have to keep going in life. You have to keep taking one step at a time in regards to just even your mind and mentally. And yet, maybe it could also change our lives to physically take one step at a time where we're getting 7 or 10,000 steps in a day. Could that make a difference? Now, obviously, some of you in this room or crushing it. You're just like nailing it at the gym, or you're active and you're exercising, and that's awesome, and I encourage you to keep going. And then there's the other end of the spectrum that it's like, you know, leaving the couch to go to the bathroom is kind of my movement. You know, we used to have to get off of the couch to change the channels on the TV. I'm that old. You had to get up. Yeah, it's a good practice. Anyways, and I'm not asking you to like start 5 days at the gym and it's like, we're going to do this. But just asking the question, how can I honor God with my body? How can I honor the way He created me to move? Because we were made to move. Whatever limits you have, you were made to move. Now, as I close, as I said, I want to read this list from this book. And it just encouraged me to look at exercise just in a totally different way. And it's not 3 times a week, you know, strength training and 2 days a week cardio, even though I think that's great. And for your age and stage of life, I think it's important to resource yourself with those kind of tools that say, okay, this is something manageable within my own capacity that I think I could do. To be able to, you know, increase mobility and to increase strength and to continue on, because I want to keep loving the people around me. I want to keep being filled with purpose and energy to do what God's called me to do today. So this wonderful list, I'm going to read it to you and it's up on the screen. Ideas for exercise as training for a life of love. 1, be able to get down on the floor and back up easily to wrestle and play with children. Be able to carry children on your back for a Saturday. Be able to do strenuous yard work or house projects without injury. Be able to walk long distances on family vacations. I haven't been to Disney World, but I hear that's a crusher if you want to get some steps. Okay. Enjoy a pickup sports game with children or friends. Stay fit enough not to throw out your back during normal household tasks. Be strong enough to help a friend move. Be able to sprint to catch a child who's wandering into a street. Be fit enough to dance the night away at a wedding. Oh. Be energetic enough to go on a week-long missions trip that involves physical service, such as building houses. Be strong enough to support your elderly parent in taking a walk. Be strong enough to carry your wife across the threshold again. Oh, yeah. Live long enough to help babysit your grandchildren. Be able to pick up your grandchildren. Be energetic enough to walk to a neighbor's house to say hi. Stay healthy enough to have regular sex with your spouse. Ah, good news. Be able to get, when you have a spouse, yeah. Be able to get up from the ground without help and help someone else up if they can't. Stay healthy enough to take a walk with your spouse or push them in a wheelchair when they no longer can. Now, obviously, there's, again, limitations, there's injury, there's disability that we have to take into account. And I'm not glossing over that. I hope you don't hear that. But it's like, what could we do to be able to, again, honor this body and see it not as a mirror, but as a window to bless others and to bless our future as well? And we have limits. We are not God. And it's good to remember that. And I think there's other people in the room that also need to hear that you also need to rest and recover. God's also designed us to rest and recover. Your body might need rest. If you are going too hard, if you're not physically honoring your body by giving it rejuvenation time, recovery time, it's also very important. But God created you to move. He created and designed you to move. And we were created in His likeness. What an honor and a privilege. So it's one way, in one aspect of life, that we can honor God, desire to follow Him in the way that we move our bodies. I encourage you to stand to your feet and just say, oh, praise God, those hips are still working. Yes, yes. Oh, look it, I can do this. Okay. We want to be more like Him. I feel like I need to shut this off because it's going to distract me. Because this is, it's a solemn moment. I'm just going to power it. Oh, yeah, there we go. I'll just stand. Oh, boy. Okay, now I'm stopped. What movement could you do today just to honor God with your body? Just to say, God, I'm thankful. Man, so much comes out of gratitude saying, God, thank you that I can still do this. I could still do this. God, how can I honor you today with my body? And as we close, we always give an opportunity to say yes to following Jesus and yes to this Creator who has designed your body. And you can be grateful and thankful for that, but also that He's redeemed your body. He's redeemed your story. He's redeemed your past. And He actually has vision for your future. That's who I want to invite you to accept this gift of from Him, saying, yes, you can be my follower. Yes, you can do your life. Every area of life can be submitted and surrendered to Christ. So as we pray, I just want to encourage you to be able to connect with that reality that God created me. I'm made by God and for God, by God and for God, for His good purpose. And so as you repeat these words after me, I just encourage you to really hear what they're saying as a prayer, just submitting and surrendering to Christ. So you can repeat these words after me. Thank you, Jesus, that you created me, that you love me, that you formed me with purpose. You made me for your glory. God, I ask you to forgive me. I ask you to renew my mind, renew my heart. God, I want to live for you. I want to remember the sacrifice of Jesus, your Son, who paid the price so that I could have new life in you. Thank you, Jesus, that I can receive that gift right now. Amen.
We hope today's message encouraged you. If you want to take your next step in saying yes to Jesus, you can always contact us at cty.lc/next step or fill out the Next Step section on the City Life app. It's an honor to play a small part in what God is doing in your life. We look forward to connecting with you soon.